It is I, Rin Savinci. It has been some time since the heroes have come for a visit, but rumors and stories always abound of their adventures within and below the Gauntlet. The heroes go toe-to-toe with an undead evil entity trying to steal their shadows. They try various tactics, and while Gilda's strength is sapped, ultimately her divine power wins the day. Retreating to safety in a secret room, they rest to recover, ruminating about Belcora and the secrets of Nimbeloth. Pushing forward to cover more ground, they find another staircase that leads far down and deep below, and an intact teleportation circle, a most curious thing. Pushing forward, they come across a room with two Morlocks, one who is sitting on a throne, dressed in a robe, and it speaks to them in an unknown tongue. Tulok uses his sorcery to comprehend the language and listens intently to the challenge and test placed before them.
Bonjour les auditeurs et mes amis. Comment ça va, James?
Yeah, bien. Et tu?
Yeah, bien, 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 bien. Comment ça va, Duncan?
Ça va bien. That's French, listeners.
French-ish.
Comment ça va, scammy bootstraps?
Je suis un ananas.
That's French, listeners, in case you were wondering. Not good French, but French nonetheless. My friend Aaron used to say all the time, Je m'appelle Toilette.
I am currently seeing our listener numbers from Quebec fall off the map.
Yeah, plummeting.
Did you guys have Télé-Français in school when you were growing up?
What's that?
It was like a VHS TV show to learn French that they would put on in elementary and junior high school. And the main character was a pineapple. And so you'd be like, je suis un ananas. And then they had this, the skeletons were like a little band of skeletons that were like a rock and roll band. And you'd like learn French from their songs. It was a fucking trip.
No, we had Pierre-Louis on the East Coast.
Listeners,
pop into Discord. Weird. We'll show you.
Was he the guy who rapped the alphabet?
Ah, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Was that guy? Do you guys have that Far East?
Or was
that
just like we all had very disparate experiences learning French?
My French teacher, when we were in elementary school, had this little, you know, like the California Raisins that you could buy, like the toy that would, like, they would dance and play a song or whatever. It was like a plastic toy. You hit the button. Well, she had one with frogs on it. And
already seems racist.
Yeah,
right? Nose,
And the song was like, Louis la Grenouille. It was like this fucking rock song, Grenouille being French for frog. And that's about the bulk of my memory of French in school, but I'll never forget Louis la Grenouille. Oh, man.
And Anglophones wonder why Francophones are mad that we're kind of ignorant of the cultures.
I don't wonder at all. This is my second podcast, and I've consistently made fun of the French on both. So,
I wish I knew more French. Honestly, I wish I had paid attention.
I do too, actually.
When I was in elementary school, junior high, high school, I didn't give a shit. I was just trying to do the least amount of work as possible, and French languages were hard for me, so I was just not interested.
Like, I had to do, I did a immersion all through high school and middle school, but it wasn't until I lived in a completely Francophone community that it actually clicked. Like, the schooling system around here just kind of doesn't lend itself to the immersion that you need to learn a language.
Mm. It was the same out here. I took it all the way through high school, and I got pretty good at it, to the point where I probably should have been in immersion in elementary school and that stuff. But I don't ever use it. I had a buddy growing up who was like proper France French. So we would talk, and he would constantly correct me about my grammar and my punctuation.
But that's what you need.
Yeah. I mean, French grammar hammer? Yeah. That's the worst.
Well, he just got so mad because in Ontario, they taught me Quebec French. They didn't teach me like Paris. Like, they taught me some amalgamation of both Quebec and Paris French. And he was so mad at the Quebec French I knew because we grew up so close to Montreal. So we'd fuck off over there. And, you know, it's like Le Flat Tire. And he'd be like, no, Le Pierre Neuf. The piano.
I worked at a bar in Melbourne with three French women.
Melbourne.
And they shut your mouth. And I would like try to like practice little bits of French all the time. And they told me about there's this television show, this like stop animation or something television show in France where they use Quebec accents, and it's like a comedy show to make fun of French Canadians. And she pulled up a clip of it and showed it to me. And she was listening really intently. And she goes, I literally can't understand a word they're saying. They're speaking French and I have no idea what they're saying. It's so different.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Acadians here in New Brunswick. Yeah,
which is like proper Fringlish.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of languages, I'm reasonably sure Scott has cheated again. So no one's surprised. But I remember off mic when we did the level up to level 3, he could not quite decide which spells to pick. He had to pick like 3 or 4, and he had like 6 or 8 that he had to choose from. And he never told us what he chose. And then all of a sudden, he casts Comprehend Languages. How convenient.
Did you just pull off a good segue?
I did.
I know. I was actually surprised. I didn't even know what was going on. I feel behind the eight ball.
How do you
now.
Like these apples? Sorry, these pommes.
Pomme de terre.
That's a potato. Yeah. So pretty clutch move, though. Actually, at this point, we'll just quickly recap what just happened. But you've just walked into this room, seen another Morlock, and one that is standing on a throne-like structure made of an old mattress and rotting wood. And wearing robes and is looking quite a bit more intimidating. The room is dank and disgusting. There's bones scattered all the place, and there's a stream of water coming from a chamber to the south that pools in the center of the room. And as you cast Comprehend Languages, this creature asks you if you're going to become sacrifices for the Ghost Queen or prove yourselves worthy in front of him. Grolgust, what do you say?
So Tulok turns to this creature. A strange feeling washes over him as he is listening to this language that he doesn't know what it is, doesn't know who this guy is, doesn't know, like, all of a sudden it's just making sense. The words came from gibberish and just slowly turned into something that he could understand. And he's looking at his companions, realizing that they have no idea what's going on. And he turns to this creature and says, what did you have in mind? Are you trying to challenge us?
Gilda looks at you very confused when this like weird guttural Morlock language comes out of you.
Actually, so Comprehend Languages doesn't tell you the language?
No.
Does it allow you to speak it?
Yeah, it's just like, I just don't understand codes, languages, and metaphors. Yeah, I can understand one language I can hear when I cast a spell. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I just saw it.
Okay, I can't speak back.
You have to heighten it to level 3 to speak back, which you don't have the option for right now. So you have to try and see if you can communicate an answer to this guy without being able to speak the language.
All right, so I can't say anything to them. So he turns to his companions and says, I believe he's trying to challenge us to prove ourselves in front of... What am I trying to prove ourselves in front of? The Lady of the Graves? The
Ghost Queen.
The Ghost Queen. He's trying to challenge us to prove ourselves to the Ghost Queen. Or we could just kill it. I don't really know how to proceed.
Neither of those sound like enticing options.
I don't know if we can just kill something that's... hasn't been an antagonist to us. This thing has clearly called down its minion over there. What could we possibly gain from just killing it outright?
All right, Tulok steps forward from behind Lady Gilda to the east, kind of approaching the throne, and will put his hands in the air in kind of a gesture of peace, and then put a hand kind of down in front of him with a slight bow as if to tell him to continue speaking.
Okay.
This could go real bad.
He gives you like a sneer and a squint of his eyes as you step forward, and but carefully watches you. And what's your performance DC?
10,000.
Oh, well, he's never going to know what the hell's happening. Actually, no, sorry. I think I'm doing this backwards. Roll me a performance check.
You got it. Fucking natural 20 for a 24, you son of a bitch, Barn. Let's
right
go.
Out of the gate.
Let's go.
And you, like, get down more or less on one knee, and he
whoa,
clearly...
Whoa. I never said I kneel before this guy.
That's why I said more or less, okay? And he kind of, like, stretches his neck up and, like, stands a bit taller and gets this, like, grin of satisfaction on his face. He's like,
"You are too stupid to speak my language, but smart enough to understand it, I see. Maybe you will be worthy. I can sacrifice you now, or you can kill the water monster, and I will induct you into the Morlocks of the Ghost Queen."
Tulok returns his gaze to his companions and says, "He'll have us kill a water monster to be inducted into the Morlocks of the Ghost Queen. I mean, we're probably going to have to kill it anyway. We could try to strike this deal just to see if it buys us any favor down here. There is the potential that these could be allies."
Yeah, Physic is nodding vigorously. Kill the water monster. Kill the water monster.
It would be a little weird to just kill something outright with not a whole lot of knowledge or information about it, but if it is an unintelligent creature plaguing these creatures for no reason at all, then I can see how we could spin that to a defense.
I believe down here it's kill or be killed, and the enemy of my enemy is my friend. We may have to trust them for now, and if we are crossed, we can deal with that when the time comes.
As you're talking, he starts to growl because you can tell he's growing impatient.
At the very least, we should entertain him.
Tulok nods to Lady Gilda, turns back towards this creature, and bows with a hand extended again.
"It nests in the cavern to the north, but regularly leaves for hunts. How you find it is up to you. But bring me its head. No head, no deal."
All right, and Tulok nods his head, gestures towards the hallway to the west to his companions.
Okay. Gilda shuffles back into the hallway.
Physic kind of falls back into the corner and lets Lady Gilda pass.
And Tulok follows.
And you can hear as you exit, Tulok,
"Do not return without it, or you will be sacrificed."
What did those fuckers look like again that we were just talking to?
The Morlocks?
Yeah.
They're like kind of almost emaciated looking. They're like really pallid skin. They have these big, round, blank looking eyes. You know they have like some sensitivity to light. which you would have seen like a slight reaction when you walked in the room. I don't know if I described it originally, but you know, that would have been, you know, averted their eyes for a second before adjusting. And they're like, they look really thin, but they're like surprisingly strong and swift for the way they look. Because if you remember, they can occupy the same space as each other, and it gets them like extra bonus to their AC and stuff. And yeah, they're wily.
So one of them was like dressed as if he was a mage or something like that, and then the other one was just a regular?
I mean, classically mage, yeah, but you don't necessarily know if it is. Like, so far, the Morlocks you've seen, like, there was the engineers, and they had all this weird gear on them, and then the scavengers were just barely clad at all, and the other one in this room is also just wearing, like, a loincloth. And so this one is, like, clearly just wearing clothes that... some clothes, rather than hardly any, and they might be a bit in tatters, but... just more finely dressed, so clearly something due to leadership.
Got it.
At the very least. Mm.
So as we're walking down the hallway towards this room, Tulok is filling them in on the fact that there's a creature in here that he wants us to kill. Quite surprised that they had not met it before.
Agragos did say it regularly leaves to hunt, but it nests in here.
So as they approach, Tulok turns to his companions and says... does anyone know anything about tracking?
No, I don't know anything about tracking.
Yeah, I don't think any of you are much in the way of survivalists. Maybe physic?
Let me double check, but I don't believe so.
All right, roll it up, dog.
Yeah, so we made our way up the tunnel to this little room with a whole bunch of broken boats. Were we here before, or was it, or were we
you
further
were, yeah,
up before? Okay.
You came through, like, this room, which was, like, where the shrine is. And
right.
Where you, and there was that secret door where you fought the shadow, and then this was, like, a pantry-looking, and then you found the teleportation circle in this hallway. So you had already come around full circle, essentially, from the cavern.
Let me rephrase. Were we here already when we first came in? Like, is this where we first came into this underground
yes.
part?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what
I was. Where you first came in and you transported the Osprey Club guys out.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And one Mr. Physic the Slouch has a 12 on the die for an 18 in survival.
Okay. Also, I think just a quick note here. I think the boat's not there because you guys didn't come back in this way. With an 18, you know that tracking this is next to impossible. It's in the water. You don't know how you would look for signs and that sort of thing. You are very much a land-dwelling creature. You're not aquatic and you don't know what to do in that scenario at all.
First of all, that's a very dickish way to answer because it could have come out of the water.
It could
like
have.
A frog. We didn't know.
But maybe it didn't.
I'm going to have to give it up that Physic is totally in the weeds right now. In the seaweeds.
In the seaweeds, in the ocean cabbage. Okay, so Tulok turns to his companions and says, I guess the only way to find it is to see if it comes to us. Perhaps we should chum the water, as they say.
I don't get it.
You don't, or Physic doesn't?
Physic does. I do too. I just don't want to admit it.
What I'm saying is we should grab a corpse and throw it in there.
Where are we going to find a corpse?
I don't know. Didn't we kill a shit ton of Morlocks at some point?
Oh, they're so far away though.
No, just in the passageway to the south there.
They're going to love that now that we're trying to be their ally.
Well, it's not like they've got fucking security cameras.
That we know of.
This isn't a modern heist.
Anyways, what do you say?
Gilda's not keen on just desecrating a body, but I don't see any other way to do it without one of us getting into the water. Maybe throw a stone in there with light on it and see what happens. See if it like blinds the creature or we can see something under the water. Like if it reveals any shadows. Above and beyond that, I got nothing.
I mean, I think our hands are tied, much like the hands of the corpse we're about to throw into the water may well be.
Are you going to toss in Bad Leroy Brown?
No, we're not going to toss in Bad Bad. He's worth money to us.
Oh, man.
But a rando corpse of a rando Morlock, I have no issue with, especially because they attacked us first. But Lady Gilda,
Yeah, she's not going to do it. If you want to go pick up a corpse and toss it in, that's fine. She's definitely not going to be doing it.
Listening to her reaction then, Tulok picks up a piece of stone off the ground, casts light upon it, and pitches it into kind of the middle area.
Okay. Okay, let's say it takes you about a half hour. Well, it's probably taking a solid hour to get around and drag the corpse all the way back.
No, hold on. We're not doing
that.
Oh,
sorry, you're going down this other path. Never mind. My bad. So, just start that again. I was wrong.
You started again. I already said it.
don't make me turn this car around.
So Tulok picks up a stone off the ground, and listening to Lady Gilda, he casts it alight and then steps forward to the edge of the bank and pitches it into kind of the middle area of the water. Yar. Right there is perfect.
Yeah,
for the listeners, there's an arrow on the map.
I have a line in the map where the difficult terrain turns into like proper water drop off. What's the word for that?
A shelf.
It drops off. Shelf. Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. You toss a rock in there and it just ripples the water and you hear, see nothing.
I wonder if this is the frog, old spike face frog.
Probably is. I mean, it's eaten people left, right, and center before. Yeah.
Yeah.
We call that foreshadowing in the business.
up to five by now.
All right. Tulok turns and casts light back onto Lady Gilda's hand wraps.
She's okay. She'll pull out that compass and use it to cast light on herself.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. So
the Wayfinder
is holding the wand of magic missile in one hand and casts light upon that and then moves forward down the hallway to the east, and he's looking for a body.
And you said this is difficult terrain, not like is the shelf on the right or the left?
Oh, like, yeah, where the map gets darker, that's where the water gets deeper, yeah.
Okay.
So where it's all brown here, closer to you, that's all, it's just all, like, really muddy. But it gets to, like, 10 feet deep or more as you get farther to the cavern mouth.
Okay, so Gilda will step into the water, drawing a javelin, and just take the search action until Tulok gets back looking in the dark water.
Okay.
Physic will somewhat reluctantly follow Tulok.
We're splitting the party.
We are.
Yeah, so, I mean, you head to the east, that you come back to the pantry. I'm not sure if you guys closed that door or not, but behind you, but it was closed. And then, you know, the first body you do find is Bad Louis Roy Brown in the shrine kitchen. And you would know that the last things you killed with a corpse would be just a little bit farther out into, like, the main sort of hallway where the collapsed stairs were, and that sinkhole where you fought a few of the Morlock scavengers.
Not going to lie, my reverence for Bad has gone down considerably since he's the nearest corpse.
Yeah. All right. Tulok finds a corpse down in the room with the cave-in.
Okay. You're going to drag it back?
He will indeed.
All right.
Just drags, picks it up, it back. Grabs it by the arms. He is weak, by the way, so this is actually going to be a bit of a chore. He was kind of hoping that Lady Gilda would help, but that was
that's
no
why
dice.
Physic came, but I'm not going to lie, he will be largely ineffective. Yeah.
He's just like lifting one leg, but the body's still dragging by its like waist.
I think he's got a minus one bonus to strength.
Except my acrobatics are good, so maybe I'm like juggling him back.
Well, I mean, the scavengers are noticeably smaller than the other Morlocks, so I'm not going to stress about that too much. I think you can do it. It's just going to take some time. So I'll fast forward the clock about half hour. Lady Gilda, you're poking in that water and searching around. You got nothing. And you can toss that body in.
Yep. And he casts light on it.
Or you cast light on the body or something on the body?
Yeah, on okay. The body.
Illuminated body, that's fine. 25 on survival.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Okay. The more you think about this, the more this seems like a reasonably good idea. But you know that, you know, because you haven't seen anything or you haven't, like, you know, drawn the attention of anything so far, you might just have to be patient and wait, which is not necessarily ideal for your situation. But you just might have to wait to see if this light on food draws something over time.
Are we necessarily hampered by anything? Not hampered, but harried. Like, there's nothing pushing us time-wise.
Not necessarily, that you know of anyway. I mean,
okay. Other than like a second wave coming.
Yeah. In a room of difficult terrain, which is a strategic concern, but.
Okay. So I guess we will relay that to the party. We might just have to sit and wait and have a fishing day.
Tulok wades into the water, the shallows, and is going to move to the other side of the room to gain a position where he can see a little better on the shore from the shore.
Cool. So you're up where that mold was.
Yes, where the mold was. Northeast.
And Physic will have loaded an acid flask into his alchemical crossbow.
Okay.
And we wait.
We've all seen Grumpy Old Men and the acclaimed sequel, Grumpy Old Men 2, Grumpier Old Men.
I actually haven't seen either of those movies.
I don't think I have either.
You're not missing much.
Never would have imagined that I was.
But this is very much the experience, waiting around for something funny to happen.
Gotcha.
Physic will take 10 feet north to the shore of the water, but still stay on the land.
And you guys patiently wait.
Patiently doing a lot of lifting in that sentence.
And sitting in this dank, flooded cavern, a good hour or so passes by.
Okay, wait. If an hour is going to go by, can I do a quick recall knowledge on Nimbaloth while we're down here? Or on the Ghost Queen?
Ooh.
Sure. For Nimbaloth, I assume you're going for a research.
Yeah, it would be the PC recollection because we're still missing one in that. But I think the Ghost Queen might be more prescient, if I'm using that word correctly.
Somebody let us know yes or no, because it will drive engagement.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's up to you which one you want to do. Well, I'll allow one of them.
The Ghost Queen, then, please.
Let's see what you got. We are going to roll society or religion. I'll give you the choice.
Society, please. Like, she's on her haunches, right? Like, she's not prone, she's not sitting, but she's on her haunches. She's got shield in one hand, the javelin in the other. She's constantly scanning the waterline and then just gently, like, making ripples towards the Morlock body every now and again to make sure there's movement in the water to try and draw attention to it. And as she does, she's thinking back to her time at school in Andoran and trying to focus in on those words, the Ghost Queen.
So you're thinking about this and, like, your brain's going back and forth in the possibilities of who or what the Ghost Queen could be. Based on what you've researched so far and what everything seems to be related to, this gauntlet keep and everything. And, you kind of rule out in your own head that it's not Nimbaloth, because you have no reason to believe Nimbaloth is undead or ghostly per se. And especially connecting Will-O-Wisps to her, because they are not necessarily undead. The corpse lights were, but generally Will-O-Wisps are not. So you have done some research on those. So everything kind of leads you to believe that maybe the Ghost Queen is Belcora, because she's supposed to be dead. And you suspect that maybe she isn't anymore, but then maybe she's a ghost.
Interesting.
Okay.
The plot thickens.
That's how she spends her first hour.
Sorry, do we know what you rolled on that? Could that be fake information?
It is... secret check. Yeah, so it very well could be.
Got it. As we're waiting, Tulok turns to Lady Gilda and says, "Douse your light for a moment. Let's see if this lures it in." And then he extends his hand and gestures down, vertical fashion downwards, and casts invisibility on Lady Gilda.
Invisibility? How long does that last?
That lasts... it only lasts one fucking minute.
Yeah.
Damn it. Wait. 10 minutes. My bad.
10 minutes. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. The 1 minute is like basically so he can attack.
Okay.
And it doesn't go away, but it's only 1 minute. I'm just hoping that, like, you know, if it is waiting to see if it will come in to take the corpse, if it can't see Lady Gilda.
And you do see a little bit of movement after a bit, after this realization, Lady Gilda. You see a little something underneath, and you just barely catch this movement as the body seems to slip away and disappear. The light gone.
What?
And in its place, this little wide snout comes up out of the water and just sniffs the air. And then out pops the frog beast from the water. Flops onto the muddy ground right in front of you. It gives a big bellow, croaking bellow. And we're going to roll for initiative.
I knew one quarter of the cast of Star Fox was a mistake.
All right. Let's get initiative. Lady Gilda, what do you got?
Gilda is sitting on a 22.
Nice. Physic?
A 21.
All right. Tulak?
Also a multiple of 7 with 14.
Okay, pretty all right.
Glad we're factoring out the fucking binomials here.
That puts Lady Gilda at the top of the order, and you are invisible. This thing has just sniffed the air and plopped out right in front of you, but it doesn't know you're there.
Okay, so what does invisible allow me to do? Can you throw it in the chat?
Yes.
Oh, never mind. I got it right here. It's on my character sheet because it's affecting me. Battery's so cool.
Yeah, it is. It's so good. Think invisible, otherwise just it makes you undetected to everybody, which
It's in the chat right now if anyone wants to take a look.
So creatures are flat-footed to you while you're undetected. The moment you strike with this level of invisibility, you will become visible again.
That's fine. So I would like to spend one action to return the javelin to, like, her javelin quiver, whatever that's
holster?
Called.
Holster?
Sheath?
Thanks, sheath.
A shither.
Shither. Love it. And then she is going to, second action, haul off and punch this thing with her hand wraps because it's now within reach.
Okay.
I tried to.
Not going to see this coming.
Yeah. And you add flat foot on your end, right?
Correct.
Okay. That is a modified 20 to hit.
That hits.
That is 7 points of bludgeoning damage as she just stands up from her haunches and throws it into a shoryuken.
Beautiful.
Immediately becoming visible again, and third action, she's going to attempt a grapple.
Ooh.
Okay.
So there's an athletics check versus your fortitude DC.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Let's last go. Level I became an expert in athletics, so that nullifies the DC part of that, because I have a 10 in athletics.
Oh.
That is a 24 to grapple.
That is success, not a critical.
Okay.
Oh, success,
yeah.
So you are grabbed until next turn.
Okay, grabbed, effectively keeping that flat-footed status for it.
And immobilized.
And immobilized. Physic, what do you got?
The frog snatching over there. Love it. Could I do a recall knowledge on this currently grabbed frog?
You sure can. It's going to be a nature check. I will roll that for you. And, you know this is a slurk. I think it's possible you guys have done a knowledge check on this before already, because I remember describing it, but this is like way at the beginning of our adventure. So you did see it for a second when it swallowed one of the mitflits.
Yeah, by this point, I imagine Physic would have been overloaded with information and would need to recall again.
You succeeded. It's an oversized frog with tusks. There's not much to give away here, so I'm just going to choose something for you. And it has a tendency to entangle its enemies with slime, which it can squirt at you.
Oh, shit. Lady Gilda. Mm.
So I'm not in a great place, is what you're saying?
It can just, like, essentially impede your movement even further.
But if you keep your hands grappled around the frog, it's almost a moot point because you're both impeded.
Otherwise, it's going to try and attack you with its tusks.
Oh, is it its turn? I thought it was physics.
Well, just saying that, like, that's what it, that's kind of what this creature does.
Oh, got it.
Okay. Well, in that case, gonna shoot an acid flask at the fang toad.
Okay.
I kind of don't want to announce this out loud because it's a 10 to hit.
yeah, nice. That's not going to cover it, I'm afraid.
That's the second hit. I'll take another shot with a map minus 5. A 17 to hit.
That hits.
Dope. 6 base damage.
Okay.
Plus, if I'm not mistaken, a 1d6.
Yeah, it should be 1d6 of the acid, I think you said you put in it?
Yeah, acid flask. For an additional 4.
Okay, additional 4. All right.
That's 3 actions.
That's 3 actions. Okay. It is the Slurk's turn.
Slurk sounds like a bad reboot villain.
It does.
And sure enough, is going to try and attack Lady Gilda. Natural 20, of course.
Okay. Of course.
Of course. It's always James' characters. Natural 20, as it comes at you for piercing damage and rolls... Let's see here. Oh, it's got the deadly trait too, so it's piling up here. I rolled
okay,
max on the deadly and minimum on the regular dice, so 20 damage.
Okay, I'm going to use my reactive shields reaction. Mm-hmm. So I gain my shields bonus to my AC. What was the total to hit?
The total damage is 20.
And total to hit.
The total hit was 31.
Okay, never mind. blow that reaction, and I take everything you said I take. That's half of my health.
Big hit.
Yeah.
And it is then going to attempt to wrestle away from you. And so it's going to roll acrobatics against your athletics DC.
Yeah, which is 20.
And it rolls a sweet 10. And then it will attempt to attack one more time since it can't get free for a 21 to hit.
Yeah, 21 hits.
I'm assuming it does, yeah, as a result. And then additional 9 damage comes in. And 2 luck.
She might die this episode, boys, against the stupid frog.
2 luck lifts the wand of magic missile and takes 3 actions to fire magic missiles at this creature.
Yeah,
free.
Buddy,
magic missile.
All right, number 1, 6 to hit, max damage.
Nice.
2, 4 to hit. Nice. And 3 to hit for a 13 total damage.
Nice.
Okay, wicked, wicked. Is that a, I forget, is that wand, is it level 1 wand or?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Still awesome. Top of round 2, Lady Gilda.
I have a question about my focus spells. Mine is heightened plus 1, but I don't have any focus spell levels. Like, so how does that work?
Focus spells like act like cantrips. They're automatically heightened.
Okay.
As you level up.
Got it. Perfect. That's actually great. First action, she's going to attempt to maintain the grapple.
Okay. You don't have to attempt.
Well, sorry. I'm going to make another grapple check.
Okay.
It ends at the end of my turn.
Does it?
Yeah, success, your target is grabbed until the end of your next turn unless you move or your target
escapes. Oh, okay. So, here's the thing, is I don't think you have to attempt again. You have it grappled. You just have to spend an action to carry that over to the end of your next turn again.
Oh, okay. So she'll do that. She'll spend the action to maintain.
Yeah. I'm like 95% sure that's how it works.
Okay. She will do that. She will strike out with her second action.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to have to be a shield bash because her free hand is holding this creature. So she shield bashes. It's a 24 to hit.
Yeah, that's a hit.
It's like a goalie punching you with his blocker.
Yeah, exactly. and that's 5 points of bludgeoning damage.
5 points of bludgeoning, and you punch it to death.
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
Yes!
Last action, she's going to use lay on hands on herself.
last action lay on hands. Go ahead and process that.
Okay, I realize that we made a boo-boo during that combat, and I only realize it at the... I was going to say something on my next turn.
How so?
There was no light.
There's light on Lady Gilda.
Did Lady Gilda recast it?
She has the Wayfinder just can cast light on itself.
Yeah.
No, I actually have to activate it, so I have to spend an action to command to activate it, so...
But you did that earlier.
Yeah, but we doused all of our lights.
I don't remember you doing that. I mean, regardless.
I think the light would have went invisible with me, but...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So would it have come back when you became invisible?
Do up your lay on hands.
Yeah, already done. It's just a flat 12. Already back.
Flat 12, okay. So you punch this thing to death and release it, and its body starts to slide back into the water, and then you cast lay on hands yourself as your last action. But just as that body slides into the water, the face of a dragon-like creature pops out and grabs the slurk and gives it a vicious shake. It takes a big chunk out of it and then throws the body across the room into the side of the cavern.
Joke's on us. That wasn't the beast.
I don't think I say this enough, Freeman, but go fuck yourself.
As this dragon creature pops out of the water, it's what's now like swimming in the deep side of the water, just 10 feet from Lady Gilda. Physic, what do you got?
Physic, I might need a little bit of one of your concoctions here. Things just got a lot more dangerous.
Yeah, so quick three shot, move northeast, take a step 5 feet to the northeast, take an action to manipulate my healer's tools, use a hero point with my third action to perform battle medicine just as a fucking safety net.
Cool.
But I am also expert in crafting now, so I get to do crafting checks again instead of medicine checks.
You can also roll versus a DC 20 to give more back.
You have to announce it ahead of time, though.
I mean...
Listen, it's your call, man.
I would love to be ambitious about this and heal you as much as possible, and I know that it's completely arbitrary that I'm poo-pooing random dice rolls, but Jesus fucking Christ, we do not have a good track.
I'm just suggesting it because you're already blowing a hero point on it. Mm-hmm. So that DC 20 would give me an extra 10 HP back.
Yeah, let's do it. We're doing it. DC 20.
DC 20 is going for it. Hero point, go.
Using the hero point, first one was a 19. A 9 on the die.
Oh, boy.
It's gonna be bad.
He didn't get it. Look on his face.
Oh, no.
Critical failure.
No, it's an 18.
Ah.
It's just a normal failure.
Oh, man.
I shouldn't have pushed you.
That's my turn. Have a good one, buddy.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay. Let's see. What does this thing do?
Oh, my God.
With its head and, like, a big portion of its neck sticking out of the water, it is going to turn its head towards Tulok and spend two actions shooting a ball of caustic mucus at him. And I want you to roll me a reflex save, please.
Coming right up, you son of a bee. 18. Let's go. Come on.
DC 19. You're screwed.
Fuck off.
Sorry, I had to do quick math there to cheat you. I'm kidding. But you take 18 acid damage. And you are taking persistent acid damage, 1d6 as well, and you have a 5-foot status penalty to your speed as you are covered in this caustic mucus. And the creature then moves itself out of the water and places itself, you know, pretty much squarely in between Lady Gilda and Tulok.
Genuinely distressing.
Tulok, what do you got?
Cool. Tulok casts invisibility on himself and with two actions blinks out of view, and then as his third action pulls out a lesser healing potion from his bandolier.
Okay. Lady Gilda. Oh, Tulak, roll a recovery check.
What?
Your persistent damage. You need to roll a recovery check on that. I put it in the chat there. You can click
got
that.
Got it.
But you take 4 acid right now.
17.
Oh, nice. So you shake off the acid.
Nice.
But you still take 4.
Damn, dude. That was a lot of damage in one turn.
Get that pH balanced.
That caustic mucus is no longer impeding you, so you're pretty lucky there. Lady Gilda, what do you got?
Lady Gilda, before her turn, is going to take a free action. Irori, please see us through this. We know that we can defeat this creature. And she will enact one of her feats called a Desperate Prayer, which allows her to add 1 focus point to her focus point pool, which she will then immediately spend with her first action to lay on hands herself and give herself 12 hit points back.
Nice.
Second action, she is going to step. Third action, she's going to punch.
Punch the dragon.
Yeah.
Punching the dragon.
She is desperate at this point. She needs to take the ire away from Tulak. That is a 24 to hit.
Yep, that hits.
Okay.
Girl.
I keep rolling like 15s, so. that is 12 points of bludgeoning damage.
Ooh, she just good hit. Oh, good hell hit. Yeah.
Nearly max damage. And that's all 3 for her.
Very good. Physic.
Okay. So I will have to defer to you on a judgment here.
Mm-hmm.
Physic had an acid flask loaded into his alchemical crossbow.
Mm-hmm.
He took 2 shots out of it, 2 of the 3. And he took his healer's tools out of his bandolier with his other hand. So Do I still have a shot left in the alchemical crossbow?
Yes,
If so, what's my map penalty, I think, is my big question here.
Your map penalty resets no matter what on your turn.
Okay.
When you turn, and I did a quick glance over the alchemical crossbow, and as long as you use the other 2 shots within a minute of the first shot, you still have them.
Oh, a minute.
You have
a full minute
to use them.
I missed that.
It's pretty generous.
Before I do so, and just so we don't fuck everything up here, I would like to recall knowledge on the dragon.
This is going to be Arcana or a lore if you choose.
How Otari based is this dragon?
Not very.
Okay. Lore, probably not going to do it.
You assume it's some sort of drake, which is a drake, draconic related creature, but you don't know anything about drakes really, or at least not this one.
Dope. Let's shoot it with some acid then.
Okay.
That was an 11 to hit.
Oh, no dice. You are rolling just so low.
No, I don't really want to talk about it too much. I will step forward 5 feet with my healer's tools still in hand. I did my turn.
All right. Okay, I'm scared now. This thing is going to use its Draconic Frenzy.
That's what you want.
And it's going to strike out at Lady Gilda first with its fangs with a 29 to hit.
29 is a hit.
Jesus Christ.
And you take 10 piercing damage.
I'm going to use my reaction to shield block to reduce that to 2 piercing damage.
Okay. And it will whip a tail past you as it does that towards Physic and try and strike him. 10 to hit, not so great.
Oh, thank God.
And then it whips its tail one more time on the backswing to try and hit Lady Gilda again. Natural 20 at a mat minus 10 for a 22. Oh,
22 is not a crit, but the natural 20 is. And I made a mistake. I can't use my shield block because my shield's not raised. So I take the full 10.
Okay.
So, a natural 20 is a crit automatically, right?
So it's automatically, natural 20s automatically improve the degree of success. So 22 would hit you normally?
Yeah.
Okay, then it is a crit. And he whops you for 18 bludgeoning.
Holy fuck. Okay.
And then it uses, that's a 2 action ability. the Draconic Frenzy, and then it uses its speed surge and leaps into the water and dives down below and disappears.
Okay, I said it before that I don't say it enough, but I really don't say fuck you, Baron, enough.
Tulok.
You tricksy little bastard.
We're still in initiative.
Yeah, we are, aren't we?
You said it.
Tulok will drink the potion that he has drawn and regain, oh goddamn, 14 hit points. I will take that.
Nice.
Buddy.
And then he moves to Lady Gilda. Does that make me visible again?
Were you invisible?
Yeah.
Oh, you used invisibility again. For some reason, I thought you used something else.
Totally helped.
No, I don't think that makes you use a hostile action.
Hostile action, yeah.
Right, okay. And then he, with his last action, will withdraw another lesser healing potion and say, Lady Gilda, I'm right behind you with my arm outstretched. Here's a potion if you need it.
So is being passive-aggressive a hostile action?
It's not passive-aggressive.
The passive brings it down one degree of success. So no. Lady Gilda, what do you get?
Thank you, Tulok. She will interact to get the potion. First action. Second action, interact to drink the potion, which is... What is the roll there? Because I'm down to, like, real bad.
I'm down to real bad.
2d8 plus 5. Do you want me to roll it for you?
I got it. So that brings her back up to less bad, but still real bad. Third action, she will raise her shield, because I got nothing else that I can do.
That's a good plan. All right, Physic.
Shield's up, tarp's off, top bar down. The first action, pull a lesser healing potion from the bandolier. Second action, apply it to the Lady Gilda.
You guys are doing okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm still at full health. Sorry.
I'm down 8, but I'm not going to be the one taking the damage.
17 HP back.
Oh, thank God.
Lady Gilda.
Nice.
That puts me real close to max. Thank you, Physic.
Okay.
Putting resources to the test here.
Yeah, that's... really gonna have me strapped for future non-role based healing initiatives going forward.
All right, you got one more action?
Yeah, for my third action.
Oh, okay, sorry. Actually, technicality here. You have healer's tools in your bandolier?
Oh, no. I had healer's tools in my hand, so I had to put the healer's tools away to get the potion out. If that's what you're getting at.
Well, sort of. What I'm getting at is that whatever's in your bandolier costs one action to draw out, but anything that's not in your bandolier costs two actions to draw out.
Right, but
so if your potion was in your backpack...
No, my potion was in my bandolier. Bandoliers have 8 slots, right?
But they can fit 8 items or a set of tools, not both.
Oh, okay, so that'll be my 3 actions then, yeah.
Yeah.
That... is actually going to fuck up the action economy quite a bit.
Yeah, the bandoliers are super useful, but there is a limit to their usefulness.
Just get another bandolier, wear it over top.
Yeah, no, I mean, I will. No, I'm just thinking about the immediate like play that we just had.
I think I'd have a hard time disallowing a second bandolier, but I think that will cap it at that.
I mean, you could just have mine. I don't ever use it unless I have potions, which I never do. So I'll just, when we're done this combat, I'll just give you my bandolier until we get back to town.
Bandolier me up, baby.
Cross bandoliers, like a...
Just throwing this out here too, like Physic, when you make your elixirs, you don't have to have them on your person. You can hand them out, right? For the start of the day.
Oh, that's true.
You could just
give
one to Lady Gilda to have in reserve.
And I got 6 reagents on a daily basis.
It is nice that you can give it to her so she doesn't have to use her own actions.
For sure. Yeah. But it's better to have resources spread out if you can. And just for the record, I'm pretty sure bandoliers cost like 8 silver.
Like, just call me Rob Liefeld. Because that's going to be my comic book characters going forward.
Listeners, if you don't know, that is a fucking choice cut. Like, that is an absolute
no idea what
perfect
you're
cut.
What I do know what we're talking about is that it's the River Drake's turn. Oh, I just gave the same away. Sorry.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed
you
that.
You already called it a river drake.
No, I called it a drake.
I called it a river drake earlier.
It pops out of the water and heads straight for Physic and is going to use its draconic frenzy again, going for a bite for an 18 to hit.
That's a mess.
Oh, you son of a... And then it swings its tail around at Lady Gilda for a 26 to hit.
Jesus.
Oof. That is a hit.
And take dealing 11 bludgeoning damage. And it whips its tail around again and is going to continue that assault, reaching past you and tries to hit Tulok with its tail. Tulok, I will give you...
I'm invisible, dog.
Oh,
you ain't shit.
Invisible.
You're the worst.
The last tail lash will then go back to Physic then for a 12 to hit.
No.
Yeah. Tulok, do something, you cheeky some bitch.
It's already been incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
All right, so Tulok raises his hands and these purple magic beams come out as he shoots magic missiles directly at the River Drake as his invisibility disappears.
So rude.
And he's just gonna light this fucking thing up. So that is gonna be 6 points of damage. That's max damage, baby. 5 points of damage and another max damage for a total of 17.
Nice.
You're ripping this up.
My God.
17. Oh yeah, 17. Holy jeez. Okay, Lady Gilda.
To lack, more like to have in abundance.
Heyo. I like Drake, so I'm sorry to do it to you.
What the hell was that?
That was perfect. That's what that was.
Oh my God. Duncan had a couple of those off mic before we started, by the way. Yeah. Real bad.
Yeah, the hits just keep coming.
Just stretching it like taffy.
Gilda's finally doesn't have to reposition, so first action, she's going to raise her shield. Second action, she's going to punch.
Okay, and this thing, based on its positioning right now, is going to use its tail lash reaction to your attempt to strike and lash you with its tail for a fuck me.
Oh my God.
That's what you want.
Uh-oh.
Natural 20.
Okay, how explain to me how the order of operations happen here. Do I hit it, and then it gets its reaction?
When a creature within reach of the River Drake's tail uses an action to strike or attempt a skill check, the River Drake attempts a strike, triggering...
Okay, so how do these resolve? Does my punch resolve first, or does your reaction resolve first?
My reaction resolves first, but you're not, like, interrupted or anything.
He will be if he goes down.
Well, I'm going to use my shield block because my first action was to raise my shield. And that's why I do it at the top of the round.
Nice. Okay, good. Because he's rolling in with a 26 damage.
Yeah, so that drops it from 26 to...
It was nearly max damage in a crit.
Feeling super less good about all those healing initiatives.
It drops it down to 18.
Okay, that's... Ooh.
Okay. That is a critical fail for a 10.
Oh, that tail just, like, knocks you way off balance. You couldn't get the strike through.
Yeah. I lose my reaction until the start of next round. So she'll just punch again.
Okay.
The map minus 4. That is a 16 to hit.
That's a miss.
Yeah, she's going down this round, boys.
Ooh, boy. Physic.
What the fuck, man? Just a quick... moment to take a breath and say, what the fuck?
Is that 3 natural 20s against me this combat, or just 2?
Yes, this that combat. Is.
Yeah. Literally, yeah. Yeah. Ridiculous. Actually, no, sorry, it's 2. No, it's 3 natural 20s, and there was a wickedly high roll as well. It was nearly a crit.
Yeah, so we haven't recorded in 4 weeks, so that's 3 of the 4 weeks you're making up for.
I've just been saving them up over the holidays, Freeman.
What do you got, Physic?
Yeah, how many chickens have you sacrificed over the last 4 weeks for this?
Okay.
No, I don't do chickens, I do lambs. It's more biblical.
Wait, before Duncan goes, can I spend a hero point to reroll that last attack?
Do it.
Sure. Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah!
Sorry, I hate doing that shit after the fact, but...
No, it's fine. Hand's not quite off the chest piece yet.
That's a minus. That's a 20 to hit.
That hits...
That is 10 now points of bludgeoning damage. Okay.
10 points of bludgeoning damage. It reels back in pain and it's looking pretty rough now.
How many times do you think this drake's been jabbed in its life?
Yeah. It's used Punch to be like stupid bit drake at face. By slurks and like, you know, poked at by probably some razor sharp razor teeth fish or something, but never punched in the schnoz.
Sean Connery showed up on a failed reboot of Dragonheart one time and it didn't go well.
He was in his cups.
What do you got, Physic? Can you finish this thing off?
I've got my last acid flask on my alchemical crossbow. I'm going to take a point blank shot for a 24 to hit.
That hits.
7 points of initial damage.
And you kill it.
Yeah!
Describe your kill.
Suck it, Drake.
So Physic just launched a vial of caustic acid at a giant river dragon in front of it. And apparently it just starts melting a little bit and dies. Probably that can't be a fun death to look at. So he just kind of like slumps himself down, horrified by what's just happened, and turns back to Lady Gilda like, are you okay?
I'm just fine. You know, you boys saved me there. Normally I feel like we do an equal effort, but today, thank you, gentlemen. You really did save my life on a number of occasions in the last 2 minutes.
We were running through the six with our woes. Sorry, this is some Drake for you there. Tulok turns to Lady Gilda and says, you're very welcome. You have saved our hide on many occasion. Potentially we should get out of this water and sever this head. We don't need another fight.
I'm just going to sit down for about 10 minutes while you guys sever the head, if that's all right.
I am going to leave that to somebody with a sharper implement than mine.
All right. So Tulok cuts the head off while Gilda spends 10 minutes refocusing and attempting a treat wounds on herself.
Okay.
Unless Physic wants to take the role.
I've got the time to do the treat wounds. No DC 20s.
I aid with a 20.
Nice. That'll be a 22, so you at least get it.
Okay. And it takes 10 minutes, right? Treat wounds?
Yep.
10 minutes, yep. That'll be 6 HP back. Not great.
And it's actually 16. So that's fantastic. So she gets 1 HP back for every minute she just hangs out. Because that's that fucking Aeon Stone.
Right. So sick.
Right.
So she's back up to 35 now, and she can technically refocus while you're retraining. So she has her Lay on Hands back, so she will bust her Lay on Hands, which will be another 12, which will put her back up to max.
Nice.
And then spend the next 10 minutes refocusing.
How's Tulok doing HP-wise?
Tulok is down 8, so I will take some healing.
Let me roll an 8 on it.
Yep.
I do not aid. Sorry, Tulok.
I mean, it's a 25, so...
Hey!
That's a great success.
Why is this so reliably against James?
Everything's against James. That's great.
No, not everything, just Foundry.
17 HP back.
Nice.
Sorry, did you guys sever the head already?
No, you're doing it.
You did.
You're doing it, yeah. They don't have the stomach for it.
Tulok, after being healed. Thank you, Physic. I suppose I should get to this grim task. And putting away the magic wand, he pulls out the dagger from his pack and goes deeper into the water and deeper into the water until he finds the head of the drake. And he attempts to lift it, but it's too heavy. So he kneels down into the water and then just starts to cut. And if there's any sort of blood left in him, I think it just starts to pool in the water around him, obscuring his view. But he does the grim task.
Gross. And you take the time, and it's not easy with a simple dagger, but you'll get there eventually.
Doesn't he have an axe? Like a huge fucking axe?
I think I Did I pass that off to you or no?
No, I don't have it on my character sheet.
I think it's still on the party loot thing. So someone's carrying it for the sake of Bald.
I am
at least.
Carrying it, yeah.
Okay. There you go.
He doesn't use it.
What's your strength? Oh, you got 10 strength.
I like the idea of just like sawing away with a fucking dagger with this big fuck off axe strapped to your back.
By the time you get the head off, it's just a butter knife.
Yeah.
All worn down. My dagger now does bludgeoning damage.
That's fun.
Yeah. But yeah, you get the old head off.
So anything that can be harvested from this beast?
Meat, maybe, but
pass.
Didn't it spit acid at Tulok like a xenomorph? Like, does it have an acid gland? That physic
will be a survival for that, I suppose.
Physic could craft out of its mouth.
If it's not a xenomorph, is it somewhat like an anamorph?
No, not like one of those.
All right, so it's not an andalite.
Oh, fucking well played on
calling
that.
Oh man, the nerds in this podcast. Outrageous.
Even the nerd listeners are cringing.
I hope so. Devin Sawa, if you're listening to this, I got you.
Roll me a survival physic.
Why me?
Because you're the only one trained in it, as far as I know.
Oh, okay. I'm supposed to be like the linchpin in this whole thing, I guess. And that's going spectacularly.
You are all of our skills. Let's put it that way.
25 on survival.
Yeah, you can actually, you start to figure out and guide Tulok to find the acid glands, perhaps.
It's right next to the cloaca.
You find them, but they appear to be drained of any substance. And this is because I have a mechanical reason for this.
Recharge 5-6.
It's a recharge 1d6 rounds for the caustic mucus. So it didn't manage to actually develop any more acid to launch. So you're kind of boned.
Love it.
Sadly. Otherwise, I would have given you something.
Rake mucus glands.
You were one more round away from having some caustic glands.
I think that's a sacrifice we're willing to make.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fine.
Yep. I'd say.
I can just wring out my cloak for the rest of it.
I mean, it could just make more acid.
Yeah, just the less mucus, the better going forward. Yeah.
All right, so Tulok with... I can't remember what movie it was. Was it called Neon Demon? It's from the same guy who did Drive, and it had Ryan Gosling. Has anyone seen this movie?
No.
And so did this other one. And anyways, in this one scene, he grabs the guy by like the roof of his mouth from outside of his mouth and then like pulls him down a hallway. And it's pretty wild looking. Anyways,
I don't think you're thinking of Neon Demon. Neon Demon was Ella Fanning and Keanu Reeves.
Damn it. Okay. Well, anyways, Tulok's holding this thing from inside his mouth, like in that scene, is pretty badass. And then he's carrying the head with it.
All right. You march your way back down to Grawgust.
Yeah.
March is doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
Fine.
Saunter, maybe. Drag ourselves.
Beef. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, do we think it's the Drake that's the thing that he wanted us to take the head of, or the frog?
I imagine it would be a pretty easy walk back to cut the head off the frog if we need to. That's a lot of neck, though.
Sorry, just to pop back in here, it was Only God Forgives, but they're both movies by Nicholas Winding Refn, so my apologies.
Oh, shit, I was thinking Baby Driver, the Edgar Wright movie, not Drive. Okay, yeah, gotcha.
I can't tell you how enthused I am about this reference that I don't get at all.
Well, shut up and go
so
watch some good movies.
Let's cut the head off the
once.
Fucking frog then.
Yeah, okay. Tulok goes in, cuts the head off that stupid frog too.
Oh, man. So you're dragging both heads back?
He's carrying both heads back like Ryan Gosling in Only God Forgives.
All right, so you make your way back to Grawlgust's room. And he is kind of just fiddling on his throne and like yelling at the Morlock, who's like not really doing much of anything, moving the bones around in the far corner. And like as if he's faux cleaning the place. And Grogus turns as you enter the room. Drake head in one hand, Slurk head in the other.
Tulok approaches and steps to in front of the throne and places both down on the floor in front of him, in front of the throne.
And he looks surprised. And a big smile comes across his face. He speaks, but I don't know if you can understand him at this point.
Doesn't it last hours?
Oh, right.
I don't know. How long does it last?
Oh, shit. Duration 1 hour. Oh, yeah, because we waited for an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Tulok puts them down, doesn't understand. He puts his hands up again and then points at his ears, shakes his head, and then turns and walks out of the room.
And he starts like yelling at you. And he turns to the Morlock in the corner and starts yelling at the Morlock, and the Morlock turns around and picks up a club and starts marching towards you. And that's what we're going to call it. Stemming the Tide is an actual play podcast of the Adventure Path Abomination Vaults and is produced by the Uncharted North Network. Stemming the Tide uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc., used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Stemming the Tide is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit Paizo.com. Music is composed by Will Savino and artwork by Greyhood. Stemming the Tide is recorded remotely using Foundry Virtual Tabletop. If you wish to connect with us or support this project and projects to come, we can be found at unchartednorth.ca, patreon.com/unchartednorth, and on all major social media platforms. Links to all credits can be found in the episode description and our website. Thanks for tuning in.